was this weekend, a year ago, that our church decided to take what we believed would be a short break from doing things as usual in order to better love our members and our community by staying apart. Little did we know that a year later, while some of us are now able to gather safely in our sanctuary for worship, all of our church practices would still be so affected. This has been a hard year, and it's important for us to acknowledge that. As we have journeyed with Jesus in this pandemic wilderness, not knowing what to expect, we have grieved, and we continue to grieve. We've also been given gifts along the way from our good God. And it can be hard, when life is hard, for us to recognize those. So when I read today's scripture, it resonated so much with me about our lives today. Many of us have been banging on God's door for a year now, asking for answers, begging for healing, wondering if anyone was home. I've jokingly said to several of you that I'm pretty sure God is tired of hearing my voice by now. And yet, this parable that Jesus tells assures us that God never tires of our prayers. This is one of the few parables where the Bible actually tells us what the parable is about before the story even begins, which is nice in these days when our energy and concentration has been drained. Our text begins with the point of the story. Jesus was telling them a parable about their need to pray continuously and not be discouraged. And then Jesus tells a story about a judge, and not a good judge. This unjust judge lived his life in kind of a reverse great commandment fashion. He neither loved God with his whole self nor loved his neighbor. He had no respect for either, really. And then a woman came to him with a complaint. A complaint against someone who had done her wrong. And she was a widow, which meant in that time and place, she didn't have any other options. She needed an advocate. And the judge should have been that for her. But he wasn't a good judge. And he ignored her at first. He didn't care about her or about justice, for that matter, as a judge should do. But the woman had a secret weapon, and it's a weapon that known to every child who has ever seen a commercial and really wanted that brand new toy, or who has walked down the grocery aisle with a parent and wanted the sugary cereal instead of the healthy one. That weapon was pester power. So she pestered the judge day in and day out, working time and holiday time, when she would see him in the market and in his home and on the road. She never left him alone, constantly asking for justice. And finally, the judge gave in, not because he was doing the right thing, because he had suddenly grown a heart, but because he was fed up with her pestering. And if that is how an unjust judge reacts to pestering, Jesus suggested, how much more will God, who is not unjust, who loves justice and loves you, respond to your prayers? We have to be careful. Jesus isn't saying that God is like this unjust judge. He's saying the opposite. That if even this judge finally does what's right, how much more quickly God, who is just and who loves, will do the right thing and not delay the answer to us. Prayer is essential. We know that from scripture and from our own experiences. And yet, what do? When our prayers seem to go unanswered, when life is turned upside down by a pandemic or by a more personal crisis, it's easy in those times to grow weary, to give up on our prayers. This parable of Jesus can help us persevere in those moments. First, it tells us that prayer is believing that God will act. The widow's actions demonstrate her confidence that eventually the judge will respond. And this doesn't mean that our prayers should be simply giving God a wish list, believing that if somehow we ask in faith and perhaps even have someone agree with us, it will be done. God doesn't hand out gifts based on what we want. Prayer is about positioning ourselves to receive what God offers, confident that God will act. In her book, Amazing Grace, the author Kathleen Norris writes, "Prayer is not asking for what you think you want, but asking to be changed in ways you cannot imagine, to be made more grateful, more able to see the good in what you have been given instead of always grieving for what might have been." When we follow the example of the widow in Jesus' parable, we come consistently before God, ready to receive, expecting that God will act. And if we believe that God will act, then the second lesson of this parable follows naturally. We must be persistent in our prayers, not giving up or losing heart. If you haven't yet experienced praying a prayer that goes unanswered as far as you can tell, or have had a long delay in receiving your answer, if you haven't already experienced that, I feel certain that you will at some point. It's frustrating and disheartening when we pour out our hearts and our greatest desires before God and then sense nothing in return, in response. And yet, Jesus teaches us that we should not give up. We're to keep on knocking, keep on asking, keep on seeking. Continually coming before God in prayer allows us to be refined so that our prayers become more centered in God's will. This week, as we've said, we'll celebrate the life of St. Patrick. And as you heard and saw in our video, after being kidnapped and sold into slavery as a young man, a teenager, he prayed more than 100 times each day. And I have no doubt that there were times when he grew frustrated or despondent, and yet he prayed. By the time he escaped slavery, he was so attuned to God and God's will through that time spent in prayer that he was even willing to return to his captors years later with the good news that Jesus loved them. If he hadn't so tuned his heart to God's heart, I don't think that would have happened. And that would have been a great detriment, not just to Patrick and not just to the people of Ireland of that day, but to all of us, because it was the Celtic Church that kept the Christian faith alive and prospering during what we often refer to as the Dark Ages, when the Western or Roman Church was struggling. Our situation certainly isn't akin to that of St. Patrick, but we can learn from him and from the widow in this parable to be persistent in our prayers, even when we aren't sure that God is listening. Because God is listening, even when we find that hard to believe. It's helpful if we pray for God's will to be done, and that's what persistent prayer allows us to do. We place ourselves in the center of God's will. We begin to feel and want and desire what God desires. And the prayer, "Your will be done," is the one prayer that is always, always answered. God's will is always done. It's up to us in our constant communication with God to find our place in God's will. The last thing that Jesus reminds us of in this parable is that in God's upside down kingdom, unlike our world, love and compassion, justice and mercy will ultimately prevail. In the story, the judge gives in finally simply to make the widow go away. He has delayed his actions in the hope that she would just give up and leave him alone and go pester somebody else. But there's not much in that, is there, that speaks of justice and compassion. His decision is one of self-interest rather than love. Jesus reminds us, this judge is the opposite of God. God will hear. God will act. God will not delay. Our God is a God of never stopping, never giving up, unbreaking, always and forever love. A love that gives us all that we need, even if it may not be all that we want. And because of this, our faith in God will never be misplaced. The only question is whether we will choose to be faithful in our prayers and in our lives. Luke's gospel places this parable just after Jesus had been teaching about the coming of the kingdom and about living in a difficult time, a period of suffering in which the people will be longing for the day of the Son of Man, longing for Christ to return. On the heels of that teaching, this parable reminds us that the only way to remain faithful in incredibly trying times, perhaps like in a pandemic, in a politically divided country, in a time when so many are suffering, the only way to remain faithful is to continually focus on God and pray without losing heart. That's also how Jesus ends this parable, drawing a connecting line between persistent prayer and faithful living. So will we be faithful? Will we align our lives with God's holy love? It's important. It's vital for our spiritual lives to be engaged in persistent prayer. And it's important to live faithfully as a result of having been the recipients of God's love and mercy and grace. Faithful prayer reorders our priorities. It draws us closer to God's will. It helps us to live into a different future. And in a world where the voices of fear and division and hatred are often loud, Jesus calls us to live faithfully and boldly as people of God who pray without ceasing and who strive for God's kingdom to come on earth as it is in heaven. If we do this, we will discover that we have unleashed the power of prayer to make a difference in our lives and to help shape a different world. My hope for each of us is that we will continue to wrestle with prayer, that we will approach God with shameless boldness, and that our prayers produce in us joy and hope and peace because we're assured that our loving and gracious God hears us when we pray. May it be so.